Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you to this edition of All Sides Weekend as we discuss arts and culture in Central Ohio. We get together regularly to talk about the prime movers and shakers, people who are making Columbus what it has been for many years, a hub for artistic endeavor, particularly for performances and presentations coming up soon and ongoing, soon being tonight. Ballet Met opens their magnificent production of Dracula, one of the most popular offerings the city has seen. This is the third or fourth revival, I believe. It opens tonight at 7:30 in the Rife Center in the Joanne Davidson Theater. We are going to talk to a new friend about that in just a moment. I want to also greet and welcome two long-term friends. Lisa Minkin is the marketing manager for Broadway in Columbus at Kappa. If you died laughing through the Book of Mormon, it's Lisa made that happen for you. Lisa and her colleagues brought that show to town. There wasn't an empty seat to be had. That naughty show, my goodness. But I'm still laughing about that. It was brilliantly done. And Stephen Caracciolo is a very, very busy conductor, musician, voice teacher, maestro, impresario. He is the conductor and music director of the Pro Arte Chorale, which you used to know as the Lancaster Chorale. They've had a name change, and they are performing this Sunday at St. Mary's Church in German Village. We'll talk about that in a bit. Stephen is also the music director of the Columbus Symphony Chorus, and among the works he is preparing for performance are Handel's Messiah. And my new friend is Remy Wertmeyer, who is the new artistic director of Ballet Met, and I just want to read a few bullet points of Mr. Wertmeyer's bio. He is a dancer. He is a choreographer. He is an artistic director. He is a fashionista. He was born in Australia. He has been named among the world's top 100 dancers by Dance Europe. His performances have taken him to the Metropolitan Opera House, the London Coliseum, Sadler's Wells, the Bolshoi Theater, the St. Petersburg Academy, and we'd be here all day if I read the whole list. So let me begin with Remy Wertmeyer and welcome you to the program, welcome you to Columbus. I know it's not your first time in this building with WOSU, but I am delighted to welcome you here.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, how long have you been in Columbus?
7 weeks.
7 weeks. Oh, and you've already been here twice. Good for you. When you got here, when you saw Ballet Met, when you worked with the company for the first time, what did you find and were you surprised?
Well, I wasn't surprised because there is an international reputation of Ballet Met as being a very exciting creator of new choreography and new ballets. And when I came here and I got to meet the dancers in person, I was so blown away by their passion, their determination, and their capacity.
I got to know Ballet Met myself about 10 years ago when we collaborated on some productions in the Ohio Theater. I was not dancing. I hasten to say.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, it's not a shame. But I got to see the company up close and personal. I stood like 15 feet away from them while they were taking class, while they were performing. And I knew a little bit about dance. I knew about booking dance, but I had never stood 15 feet away from a company of dancers. And I still can't get over the level of skill that I saw and the work that ran into it.
Yeah, it's really...
What is it to be a dancer? What is it to be a ballet dancer?
It's really a lifetime dedication, really. I mean, for myself, I started at 2.5 years old.
I was going to ask you that. You have to start almost as a baby, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I don't think you need to start quite so young. But I had a lot of energy, and my parents were like, we need to kind of give this guy an outlet.
Yeah.
But it does. It takes an absolute extraordinary amount of dedication and passion to really achieve the kind of level that our dancers
achieve. 2.5 years old, what would you do with a 2.5-year-old in a class?
You kind of learn good feet, bad feet. So you point your toes, that's good feet. Flex your feet, that's bad feet.
And at what age do you think something clicked in your mind that this is something I'm going to do? This is going to be what I do. This is going to be what I do with my life.
Well, I think I was fortunate in the sense that at the age of around 8, I had my first solo on stage. And I remember coming off from that solo and telling my mum, this was the best day of my life. Like, I just loved being on stage.
Do you remember what it was?
It was a classical variation. Yeah,
oh, yeah, terrific.
In a competition.
How long did it take you to prepare to get to that point where you came off stage knowing you'd hit it out of the ballpark, let's face it?
Well, yeah, it was just the adrenaline. I think at that young age, I didn't understand what adrenaline was, but the adrenaline of performing in front of an audience just really gave me a rush, and I became addicted to that.
Remy Whitmire is the newly named artistic director of Ballet Met. He's been here 7 weeks. Let's hope he stays at least 7 years and maybe longer. You're buying a house, you told me off mic. So you're not renting, you're buying.
We're investing.
That's a very, very, that's a good sign. I'm glad about that. Lisa Minkin, it is your job, part of your job, to sell tickets to all the Broadway offerings that come through Central Ohio, come through Columbus. First of all, this is related to that. The Columbus Symphony is moving ahead, building a new venue, which, frankly, should free up the Ohio Theater. Has that been part of strategy sessions that involve you?
I have yet to be in those strategy sessions, but, you know, anytime we can get more Broadway to town, we are excited at that opportunity.
How do you decide what gets to come here?
You know, that's an excellent question. It's a combination of working with our partners, Broadway Across America. Of course, with our local Kappa staff, we survey our patrons. So if you ever get a survey in your email, I promise you we are listening and taking that into consideration. And then we have so many organizations, wonderful organizations using the Ohio Theater. It's also a little bit of a puzzle. Is the tour in this part of the country when we have open weeks at the Ohio Theater? So all of those elements go into picking our seasons.
Lisa Minkin works with Kappa, works with Broadway and Columbus. Kappa has, I don't know how many theaters now downtown and elsewhere. I mean, they run the gamut. You also work in the Palace Theater as well and the Ohio Theater.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite venue, just personally?
You know, it's like asking someone to pick one of their favorite children.
I could do that. No. I only have one. So.
I actually think maybe the Southern Theater is my favorite, and we don't get to perform Broadway there. It's just...
Yeah.
The glamour, and there's a warmth to it that I adore.
You need the seats. You need the seats in the bigger venues for what you do. Lisa Minkin is marketing manager Broadway in Columbus for Kappa. We're going to talk. I'm going to ask you later just about what Broadway in America is. And I know you used to, I think you still have a video blog about Broadway. I hope you still have it.
We do. We don't shoot as many videos as we used to. It's called Broadway Dish, where we kind of pull back the curtain and show people what goes on behind the scenes.
Dish is always good. Let's revive
right.
that. Let's get that going. And Stephen Caracciolo is here. Stephen, I believe you grew up in this area. Then you left and went on to great things in Washington at the National Cathedral, I believe.
I grew up in Steubenville and spent most of my life here.
Get closer to the mic.
In Columbus, raising our kids and doing some teaching.
So what do you do?
What do I do? I am the chorus director for the Columbus Symphony Orchestra, and I do Pro Arte Ohio, the artistic director of that organization, and I also conduct at Upper Arlington Lutheran Church.
Tell me the concert you're doing this weekend. You did it last week in Lancaster. Now you're doing it this weekend here.
This week is Glories of Rome, Splendors of Venice. The first half is all a cappella Palestrina. We made the audience may know that Palestrina was born in 1525, and so the choral world is celebrating his life in the 24-25 season and in the 25-26 season. As much as I love Palestrina, I don't think that our audience, or perhaps even me, would want to see it through an entire program of a cappella Palestrina. So we have contrasted Gabrielli, his music from Venice, and with period instruments, sackbuts, cornet, and some baroque strings.
Everybody should play a sackbut if they can. You are performing this program in two large-scale churches, it's a kind of acoustical space that Palestrina might have been familiar with, although probably in his case on a larger scale. Are there challenges of doing this kind of music in a church acoustically?
Not this music. This music is perfect. So if you're going on... If you don't have the ability right now or the time to get to Rome or to get to Venice, this is your and to hear some music, this is your best chance. You ask the question, what was the kind of music that was sung at the Sistine Chapel and in St. Peter's, such as it was in the 16th century? And what kind of music was sung at St. Mark's? And this is your tour, your Italian tour.
That's Sunday at 4, right?
Sunday at 4 at St. Mary's in German Village.
In German Village, part of my friend Orly Alonso's series at St. Mary's in German Village. Stephen Caracciolo is here. Lisa Minkin is here. And I wanted, before we go to our first break, I want Lisa to tell us about, we've already had the Book of Mormon. Now the Grinch is coming to Columbus.
So a little opposite side of the spectrum, because this is completely family friendly, a great way to introduce young ones in your life to perhaps their first Broadway show. It's 85 minutes, no intermission. Based off the 1957 book and 1966 animated cartoon that appeared on CBS.
That's the one with Boris Karloff as the Grinch, isn't it?
Yes, who, fun fact, also voiced Tony the Tiger.
Oh, well, thank you very much. See, now that would be in your video, your
that's right.
Broadway district. That's right, yes. Yes.
So we're super excited to have the show. We had it here in 2015, so it's time to bring it back. It has the songs you know and love from that animated series, The Fahu Forays and Welcome Christmas, and of course You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
Do you know what I'm impressed by? Any of the offerings that I've seen in the Broadway and Columbus series that you bring is the precision. Is it, there's not a false move in any of it. It's not mechanical. It's not cold or automatic. But particularly in the Book of Mormon, there was nothing out of place ever. I didn't know the show well, but I mean, I can tell if something is working and something is not. And every performance, I must say, I mean, every mark was hit, every note was hit. Is that consistently true, and how do they do that?
I think 100% it's absolutely true. I think there's a misconception that a tour is less than what you see on Broadway, and that is not the case. Producers are looking at the road for the success and bread and butter.
That's how they make their money. They make their money
exactly
on the road, right, yeah.
So they are putting every effort into making sure that you have just as good of an experience here in Columbus as you would on Broadway, if not better.
And they do 8 shows a week, and they didn't seem, I saw them at the end of the week, and they didn't seem tired.
It's pretty amazing
what
they can
eating,
do.
But whatever it is, it's working for them. We're talking about Broadway. We're talking about great choral music and magnificent dance. Dracula is tonight. That's David Nixon's production. It goes back, I think, about 10 or 15 years. It's been a kind of a cash cow for Ballet Met. It's very, very popular. Remy, what has been your experience with that production? Had you seen it before?
I had not seen it before, but I'm so excited that the company is bringing it back. Like you say, it is really a staple of the community, and the community really gets involved and
yes,
loves it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and the music is very interesting. It's Ivor Parte and Rachmaninoff. And
fantastic, yes, collaboration of music in there.
Yes, so that is opening tonight at the Davidson Theater in
That's
the Wright
it.
Center.
That's
I'm
it.
Very confused because they keep changing names. But it's downtown in the Wright Center. You know where that is, America. So go to the Ballet Met website and get yourself some tickets. It runs for a couple of weekends.
We're there until the 2nd of November.
Okay, that's when I'm going. I'm going the last day.
Fantastic.
That's for Dracula. We're talking more about music, Broadway, and dance when we come back after a quick break. Don't go away.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.
We are back with this edition of All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to welcome Remy Wertmeyer from Ballet Met. Delighted to welcome Lisa Minkin, Broadway in Columbus. And delighted to welcome Stephen Caracciolo, who is the artistic director and conductor of Pro Arte Ohio. Right?
Correct. Thank you, Chris.
And the Columbus Symphony Chorus. Remy, let's talk more about you now. the first thing I believe that you are going to choreograph for us as after your tenure became official is West Side Story. Is that correct?
That's true, yeah.
That's being done in February. It's a collaboration between Ballet Met, the Columbus Symphony, and Opera Columbus. So everybody's coming to the table for that one. That is a big, big undertaking. Have you done the show before? Have you been in it before?
No, I haven't created or performed in this
really?
Show. I am very excited to be part of it, though, because it was the first musical I ever saw.
Really? In Australia?
In Australia, in Adelaide, Australia, my hometown. And I was so excited about that production. It really left a mark on my...
Were you a kid?
Yeah, I was a kid.
Young child at the time. Yeah. So when do you start working on this, and what do you envision the rehearsal process for that to be like?
Well, I have created like ballet operas before
and
musicals and things. So I've been part of that kind of process. We've already started. I've already created two songs on the dancers and working closely with the director through distance. Actually, this coming week, we're going to do a workshop. And we're going to have the director there, and the dancers are going to be able to kind of vocalize and see how comfortable they are with that, and how far we can kind of collaborate the dancers with the singers.
Are you using the showcase space at Ballet Met, the one in the back near the parking, that performance venue?
For rehearsals?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll use that rehearsal. We'll also use our new very large studio.
Okay. Yeah. West Side Story is being done in February, I believe, in the Ohio Theater, if I'm not mistaken. That's going to be a great community event. What else are you working on, and what is your bucket list, I guess, for Ballet Met? If even money were no object, ha ha ha. But what's something that really artistically you would love to do for this company specifically?
Well, when we talk about broad strokes, I am initiating more international exposure. I'm trying to get the company more engaged internationally. And I'm also developing Ballet Met 2 to be more...
Which is what?
Ballet Met 2 is the younger company. It's the final graduating year of the academy, where we have young aspiring dancers also work with the company, but I'm developing a program where they really get out into the community, they perform their own work, and I want to push them even further into the national scene.
Is touring viable?
I hope
Touring's hard,
but we do have a few little things on the agenda. We have Northrop, which is very exciting, and we have some more plans as the years come. So I'm definitely open to all those conversations.
So I'm speaking on a smaller scale to begin. Does the company, or has the company, I think they have, I'm not sure, toured the state, toured Ohio?
Yes, and we do that now more with Ballet Met 2.
Right.
Yeah, we'd like to kind of get them more exposed.
Get them dancing.
Yeah.
How old are the kids in Ballet Met 2?
They range from 16 to 21.
So not always. Well, they're kids to me. I mean, they're very, very young.
Young adults.
And the academy, the school... Ballet Met. I used to say to Sue Porter, your general director, who I think is brilliant, if you ever wanted a sort of energy boost, just to walk through your building on a given afternoon, because it's mobbed with kids dancing.
Well, that's what
and
I
it's
say.
In every studio, there's something going on.
Exactly. I think it's such a pleasure. People say, oh, you know, how are you enjoying working at Ballet Met? And for me, it's a pleasure to go into the building every day.
Yeah.
It's like going to the theater. It's fantastic.
Yeah, just the level of activity, the level of creativity.
Always something new to see, always so much passion and determination going on.
Now, do you still dance yourself?
Just at home in the shower.
Okay. Don't slip and fall, for God's sake. Let's talk about your career as a dancer, because it was quite important. You were named one of the 100 finest dancers by Dance Europe. You danced with ABT. Tell me about that, the American Ballet Theatre.
Yeah, dancing with the American Ballet Theatre was fantastic. At that time, it was really, there was just the most extraordinary talent in
what
the company.
What years were that when you were there?
That was in 2005.
Okay.
Oh, 2006, 2005, 2006.
I'm so old, my God.
Not at all.
Yeah. And what did you dance there?
I danced everything. I was in just the quarter ballet there.
Okay.
I was with the Australian Ballet, and I won a scholarship to go perform with ABT for a year. And then I went back to Australia. Then I went and danced in the Dutch National Ballet in the Netherlands.
Now, you had a
years.
Big role there in the Netherlands, didn't you?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, I was a principal dancer there.
How long?
Well, I was there for 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I was very grateful for that career, because it was very international. I got to travel everywhere. I got to guest all around the world. So, yeah.
Some ballet opera companies and symphonies, they have a signature. They are known for certain specific parts of the repertoire. In the Netherlands, I know they had the Netherlands Dance Theater, which is more modern, but what is there a signature for the company that you were with? Are they more modern? Are they more book ballets? Or do they really do the mix?
They really do the mix. That's what really gravitated me towards the company, because the repertoire is so awesome. They have a lot of new creation, a lot of great classics, and all the very best from the 20th and 21st century.
And what's your favorite ballet role? And don't say it's like choosing your kids, because kids grow up and leave. They grow up and leave you. I mean, so, but dance and music stay forever. So what?
Well, I always loved the really, like, tragic roles, you know, the Romeo or the Giselle.
It's great to die, isn't it?
It's great to die. And I think I'm generally considered quite an upbeat person.
Yeah.
So I love all that tragedy on stage. You know, I get to be another character.
Well, you love West Side Story then, because
it's
certainly a lot of that. We are talking to Remy Wertmeyer. If you are out there and you've never been to the ballet and you think it's not for you, do yourself a favor and go down and see Dracula, Ballet Met's production that opens tonight and runs through the 2nd of November,
I believe.
If you go to the Ballet Met website, just Google it. It's all there.
Balletmet.org.
Balletmet.org. You can get tickets there. You can go there. It is really, you know the story already, so you're halfway there. But just to watch this and to hear the eclectic score, which was beautifully put together, and to watch the choreography and the dancers, treat yourself, because that's something terrific. If it's not your birthday, pretend it isn't, go anyway and get someone to take you to Ballet Met's production of Dracula. And then you're going to get tickets to see The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, from our friends at Broadway in Columbus. What is Broadway Across America, Lisa Minkin?
Broadway Across America is our wonderful partner in New York, based out of New York City. They have 40 plus markets across the country and even in Mexico and Canada. So they help us bring the shows to Columbus. So they help with all the routing and the programming. They are also partners, you know, for me when it comes to marketing and working with the shows. So we're so excited to work with them every year after year.
So would you go to them and say, okay, I have these two theaters in Columbus and these are the dates, they're empty. What do you got? Is that how you shop that? Or
it actually starts as a bigger conversation than that. We look at the season as a whole. We provide them with our available dates, and then they come back and say, here's the tours, but it's a bigger conversation too. They're, you know, based on our surveys, we think these are best for your market or this type of show.
Well, they fine-tune it. They fine-tune it like that,
yes,
really.
Yep. Yes, the true partners for us.
Right. How do they determine what show would, for example, work well in Columbus?
Well, I think it's based on, you know, obviously I mentioned our surveys, what other types of shows, similar shows have performed well here. Although, you know, Columbus has a real hunger for Broadway. Almost every genre and type of show we bring in really does well. And producers notice that and are excited to bring their shows
When you say Broadway, I mean, Broadway to me is plays, musicals, dance, whatever. I mean, you talk about big musicals.
Big musicals.
Okay, mm-hmm. Big musicals are what really you need. Mm-hmm. If they were to do a play, like the one that To Kill a Mockingbird was brilliant.
Yes.
The sets looked like Edward Hopper.
Mm-hmm.
You had Richard Thomas, who was terrific in it. You had a great cast, but it wasn't a musical, but it did really well.
And we like to bring in plays. We like to give our audiences that experience. Really, plays probably need to perform well on Broadway first.
Which that
and
did.
Have a little bit of that name recognition in order for them to have that, you know, power behind them to take that out on the road.
They're doing Our Town now. There's a new production of Our Town that I would love to see.
I saw it. Got good reviews, too.
Jim Parsons is the stage manager.
That's right.
And Thomas is Mr. Gibbs. It's maybe we'll see that here. Who knows? One can dream.
That's right.
One can think about it. Broadway in Columbus. Lisa Minkin, you are filling the Palace Theater. You are filling the Palace Theater was renovated recently, wasn't it? Or
it was. I don't have the years off the top of my head, but in the last
handful of years.
Yeah. Top to bottom renovations, and it sparkles.
Great, great. Always been a great venue. Stephen Caracciolo, musician-like, tell me about what you are planning or what you are working on with the Columbus Symphony Chorus, which I should emphasize is a magnificent chorus and an all-volunteer chorus. So people are singing there because that's where they really want to be. What are you working on with them? Messiah, you can talk about that some more, and then what else?
Mm-hmm. This is my second season with them, and they're just amazing people. I have been so impressed with the kind of music making they are doing. You're right, Christopher, we're working on Messiah right now, working on the choruses. We are working on particular Baroque articulations and British accent for the text. So we're trying to bring a little that kind of authenticity to
Worthy
it.
Worthy is the Lamb. Yes.
You got it. Yeah. Okay. No more lamb from... No. From Central Ohio.
What is the War Requiem?
The War Requiem was, that's in the spring. That's what you're alluding to. That's the big project that we're doing, of course, with the orchestra. That was written by Benjamin Britten in, I think, 62. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
The year that I was born.
For God's sake.
Yeah. And
I was in third grade, but go ahead.
Yes, right. Coventry Cathedral was bombed during the war. 20 years later, they decided perhaps wisely not to rebuild the medieval cathedral. They built a new cathedral. They commissioned Benjamin Britten to create a work that would celebrate the opening of the new Coventry Cathedral. What we have is this amazing monument of choral, orchestral, and solo music, the Requiem by Benjamin Britten.
He also wanted, at least in the initial run in 62, he wanted Russians represented, he wanted the Allies represented, and Germans. Fischer Dieskau, the German baritone, was the soloist with that. Vishnevskaya, the soprano, was supposed to do it, and the KGB would let her out. But he intended it really as a pacifist statement, and he himself was a pacifist and got into trouble for it during the Second World War. But the piece has tremendous backstory, and I don't know if it's been done in Columbus, not since I've been here, and that's a while. So mm-hmm. if it's going to be new to you, it's in the spring. I think it's in May, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It is something very much to look forward to. You also have a big Mahler symphony, I believe.
Mahler 2.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which is what?
Mahler 2, The Resurrection.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's sell it, baby. Come on.
Yeah. The chorus has the great pleasure to sit on stage for like 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and then we come in and sing the big chorus at the end. We're working bits of that right now, and that will be a wonderful performance.
Yes.
I'm looking, if there are listeners out there, I'm looking to expand the chorus by a couple more people. If you are somebody who loves to sing, you have choral experience, please contact me because I would like to have a bigger chorus for that particular gig.
For a good time, call Stephen at the Columbus Symphony if you want to be in the
too.
Columbus Symphony Chorus. Mahler, that's a big sing. That will be very, very exciting. Now, let's talk a bit about what used to be called the Lancaster Chorale.
Mm-hmm.
What that history was, where it is now, what the rebranding is about, why that came about.
We have rebranded Lancaster Chorale to be Pro Arte Ohio. Certainly the ensemble has become more and more professional in the last 20 years, even prior to me taking over 9 years ago. Now we have artists that are from at least 6 different counties and 2 different states. We are looking to do more of an outreach into different communities other than Columbus and Lancaster. And so it just made sense to us to have something, have a new name and maybe even include the name Ohio in the title. So we worked that into it as well. Pro Arte, of course, means for art. It's like an exclamation.
And you can hear Pro Arte Ohio this Sunday at 4:00 at St. Mary's in German Village, doing a very a great program for that great space in music of Palestrina, music of Venice and Rome, and it's just big, glorious sound, and that's at 4:00 Sunday. Stephen Caracciolo is the artistic director of the Columbus Symphony Chorus and Pro Arte Ohio. Lisa Minkin is the marketing manager of Broadway in Columbus. So we have The Grinch. What is Anne Juliet? That's coming in February. You're bringing that in February.
Yeah, we're super excited to bring the show. It's basically, what if Juliet decides that losing Romeo doesn't have to mean that she has to lose her life as well? So it's really the focus on Anne Juliet. And the kind of the two main storytellers are Juliet herself and Anne Hathaway, Shakespeare's wife, who kind of argues that his ending for Romeo and Juliet's is... Juliet is the pits.
So we're going to let him die. We don't need him. But it's about her.
It's about her story, making her own decisions, and it's set to the music of Max Martin, who you might not know the name right away, but he has a huge catalog of hits. I Want It That Way, Baby One More Time, It's My Life. So it's a fun, you kind of want to dance a little bit in your seats type of show. And it's funny, too, because the book writer for the show was one of the writers on Schitt's Creek.
Oh, listen to you, okay, which was a very, very successful run there. So that'll be more than tongue-in-cheek. That'll be a lot of fun. And that is February 18th to the 23rd in the Ohio Theater. How do you have to subscribe to get tickets? How does that work? Because they do go clean mostly. It's you know, I don't know if you can go up to the box office or call the day of.
The day of for some of these shows might be challenging, so obviously we encourage everyone to subscribe. That's truly the only way to guarantee your seats our shows.
I'm of an age, and you're a pro, so you know, but Remy and Steven are too young to know what really it is to subscribe. But that used to be the way years ago. Yeah. That was the model. You had to buy a whole bunch of shows to get the best seats.
That's right.
I don't know if that's viable everywhere, but clearly it is for you.
For Broadway and Columbus, it's definitely viable. So you get your seven, we have moved up from six to seven shows in a season, and then you have the options to purchase season options as well.
So you get first in line to purchase those. Because
that's right. Subscribers get first dibs.
Things like when Hamilton first came here, you couldn't do that. You couldn't get...
And that was the way to guarantee your seat to Hamilton, to become a subscriber.
Which mm-hmm. Hamilton's coming back.
That's right. It's going to be here next summer.
Yes. And we have Peter Pan as well. We talked about that. You know what we're going to do? I want to look up my notes more because I want to ask you about A Beautiful Noise because I know the premise, but I don't know the show itself.
Yeah, great show.
And we're going to come back in just a moment. Don't go away.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.
We are back. This is All Sides Weekend, Arts and Culture. What is going on specifically this weekend in Central Ohio? What is going on in the near future? I'm Christopher Purdy with Remy Wertmeyer, who is the Artistic Director of Ballet Met, with Lisa Minkin, who is the Marketing Manager for Broadway in Columbus, and our friends at Kappa. That's a relationship, right? I should say that. You're part of Kappa. Is that correct?
I am, yep. I'm a Kappa employee.
All right. And Stephen Caracciolo, who is the conductor and artistic director of Pro Arte Ohio and the conductor of the Columbus Symphony Chorus. And Lisa, before the break, I was asking you about A Beautiful Noise, which is a Neil Diamond musical.
Yes. We are super excited to bring that to Columbus. Obviously, people went wild for it on Broadway. And what's interesting is Neil himself was super involved with cheerleading and supporting the show, having the creators have access to him, but didn't try to edit the show. So there are parts in it that perhaps are painful, you know, to watch when you see the show, if that show's about you. But he wanted to get that true representation of himself and his career out there for the public to see.
That's going to be very exciting because he is. That's going to be a very exciting show. That's going to do well for you, I can tell right now.
Most definitely.
And you also have something at the Palace Theater in May. I don't know if it's been here before, but it's ran for your Stomp.
Yes, it's been in Columbus several times. Great rhythm, fun show. I think you'll probably want to pick up an instrument or something around your house and try out for the show next time it's in town after seeing it.
Well, that's in May, so get working now, okay? That's Broadway in Columbus. That will be at the Palace Theater. Where do people go for information about subscriptions and whatnot?
Well, subscriptions aren't on sale anymore, but you can...
Well, they will be.
They will be next year, so you can actually sign up for our wait list. Go to broadwayincolumbus.com. You can also sign up for our e-club, which our e-club gets special pre-sale offers. So if you're not a subscriber and want a way to get tickets, pre-sale is the way to go at BroadwayInColumbus.com.
Lisa Minkin, thank you for that information. I'm going to be coming back to you. We'll talk about Hamilton as the show goes on. Remy Wertmeyer, you are a dancer. When as a dancer did you begin to make ballet, to be a choreographer? At what point in your career?
Well, I started making performances for my family, much to their dismay, back when I was a kid. Yeah, I'd put on shows with the neighbors and we'd all be in the back garden on the patio performing creations of horror, really, ultimately.
Were you one of these kids where the parents looked and said, I don't know where we got this kid. You know, this is terrific, but I don't know. he didn't learn it in this house.
I don't know. My mom was very creative, too. Yeah. She's super creative. And my dad's like an awesome supporter. So yeah. I had a great, great support
team around
me.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's good. So you also have another job. You are a designer. You also do sets and costumes, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do sets and costumes, and I'm a sculptor. I have some galleries in Europe that represent my work, and I've worked in fashion a lot. I direct runway shows for Paris Couture Week. I've designed campaigns and choreographed campaigns for Paco Rabanne and G-Star Raw. And I've also had a sculptured jewelry line that was shown at Paris Couture Week.
Do you still work on that? Do you still make jewelry?
I would love to say yes, but right now I don't have a lot of time.
Well, I was going to ask you how you do it all, how that happens.
Well, for me, like I always found the art side of things, like the creating sculpture and painting and all these things and design, all very much the meditation. So the
really?
Day job is definitely the ballet, is the choreography, is the directing. That's the passion and the ambition. But away from that, you know, you need to relax. You need to find an outlet. And for me, that was art.
How much of your job is administrative? Like not sexy, not kind of just...
A lot of it is not sexy.
Necessary, but, you know.
Yeah, a lot of it is like that. I mean, I do find that a lot of the conversations I'm having are really stimulating and creative in the content. But yeah, a lot of the job is sitting behind a desk and planning.
Before you decided to come here, before you decided to buy a house, had you spent time, had you visited, had you checked out the city before you made that commitment?
I did have a few visits before, and I also did a huge amount of research.
Where did they take you?
They took me to German Village, of course. And
they take you to a football game?
I went to see, and I'm not a big football person. Actually, it's not football. You guys call it soccer.
Be careful. Oh, soccer, yes.
Yeah. So
okay.
we went to the Miami team and crew.
Okay.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was awesome. Got to meet the locals in their own habitat.
I'm gonna take you to a hockey game.
I'd love that. Yes, yeah,
I'm gonna
for
take
sure.
you to a hockey game because sure. that's kind of my game. So do you audition new dancers? What is the attrition at the company? A dancer's, the old line is a dancer's life is short. What does
it
that exactly
is.
Mean?
Well, put it this way. In Europe, we had a 38-year cutoff, and that was, they considered, we had a lifetime contract in Europe, but our life ended at 38.
On your birthday, your butt was out the door.
Not exactly, but there was the at that age, you generally were inclined to be...
But if you were dancing at a high level professionally at that age, you probably started 20 years earlier. You probably had
definitely. I mean, you start, you know, you kind of start your professional career at somewhere around 18 to 20 mm-hmm. to 21. Yeah.
So what do you do at with 38? What happens to you when you're 38?
Well, I
you became an actor. You're not probably
yeah,
not 38
I went
yet,
into to I went into coaching and teaching. I was teaching and coaching for the Dutch National Ballet Academy and choreographing internationally.
Okay.
So yeah.
Is this your first artistic directorship?
This is.
Really? Yes. Terrific. Well, I wish you a long tenure and a happy tenure, and I'm glad you're buying a house. That's always a good sign. Dracula opens tonight in
your
the
tickets.
David's at the Rife Center and runs for next two weekends, I believe.
That's it.
There are a lot of performances because there's a lot of demand for it.
It's a great show.
And then Nutcracker. Let's not forget that.
Good old Nutcracker. It's coming back.
Yeah? Are you going to, you know, when it's somebody else's production, this is David Nixon's choreographer for Dracula, and I'm not sure. Is it Edwards?
No, it's Gerard. Yeah, exactly.
Gerard and Yeo. Do you ever make any changes, or is that like something you would never, ever interfere with somebody else's?
No, I would never interfere with it. I think that it's important that they have their clear vision portrayed on stage.
Okay.
But if they give me the opportunity and they say, well, you know what, I don't have time this time, if you have an idea, then I'm always available.
Also, they may you may have dancers that they didn't know, you know, that
very
are active
true.
Now,
very
which
true.
Kind of changes it a little bit. Nutcracker is always a joy. It's always wonderful. What happens after the first of the year when Nutcracker's done? What's your next?
That's West Side Story.
West Side Story,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Jumping in, a scene change there.
Yeah. How about any modern non-book ballets?
We have Black Voices at the end of the season.
What is that?
That is three black choreographers, and they will be neoclassical contemporary pieces. Jennifer Archibald is creating a new work for us, which we're super excited about. Dwight Roden will have a existing piece. And we're really excited about it. It's going to be at the Davidson Theatre again. And yeah, get your tickets for that.
Okay. Get your tickets for ballet. Go to balletmet.org.
That's
.org for anything. You can get tickets very easily for Dracula opening night or any of their presentations. And again, if you've never been to the ballet and it's not for you, this is. This will whet your appetite, and this will keep you, you know, this will give you something else to do, frankly, and enjoy here in the city.
Good for Halloween.
Good, perfect for Halloween. Oh, there's also a blood drive. I love this. There's a blood drive.
Tell me about that.
Yeah,
I did the blood drive. It was my first time giving blood. I didn't realize it was, because I guess you do a lot of blood tests and things in your life. But then when they said a pint of blood, and I don't know what that is, a pint. I'm like, is that a liter? So it was a lot of blood, but it was actually, it was awesome.
It's a lot of blood. They had a blood drive that coincided with the opening of Dracula, which I think is a wonderful idea. So very savvy marketing there. Very good. And
we have a good team.
And doing a lot of good for people as well. And Stephen Caracciolo, again, concert Sunday at 4 o'clock at St. Mary in German Village with Pro Arte Ohio. And then what does Pro Arte do after Sunday?
After Sunday, we're preparing for Oh Great Mystery. That is our December programming. Again, those of people in the audience who are accustomed to going to choral ensemble performances, they'll recognize that that's the translation of Omanium Mysterium. And they might be anticipating one Omanium, but we're going to give them three. The Gabriele Omanium Mysterium, the Francis Poulenc Omanium Mysterium, and the Morten Lauridsen Omanium. So from different centuries, different decades, and you get to hear this wonderful text. It's an amazingly beautiful and meaningful text as interpreted by three different composers.
What does it take to be a choral singer?
It takes training. You can be a choral singer certainly at many levels. There are school choirs, there are community choirs, there are church choirs, there are professional choirs. At this level, most of our singers have degrees in music. Many of them are music educators. A large body of them have master's degrees in vocal performance. You should have sung in choral ensembles for many, many years in various languages and in various styles. That's what I'm looking for when people audition.
Are there enough of those people around?
There are enough for us to fill the most rosters. We are looking, certainly with the new name, Pro Arte Ohio, that people will start to see that name and be more willing to drive in from Dayton and from Marysville and from a little further out.
And are the requirements for that similar to what you're looking for the Columbus Symphony Chorus?
They are not. They're quite different. The process is very similar. Quite unusually, we have everybody do a prepared audition. That is to say, I put on the website exactly what to prepare, and you come and do that with a recording. We don't do sight reading. However, it's just more styles and more examples for Pro Arte Ohio.
What is your own journey? Tell me about the beginning of your growing up in Ohio and what the road was that got you to where you are now.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a steel town, Steubenville, Ohio. We in the 1970s, there was still a very strong choral tradition in Steubenville. I think we've had this discussion before. I was in the men and boys choir at the Episcopal Church. We had a Russian Orthodox choir. We had a Greek Orthodox choir. We had just many different cultures mixing together. It was really a wonderful place to grow up. My choral director at the time my high school choral director, introduced me to Palestrina and Gabrielli. We are singing two pieces on this concert that I was introduced to in high school. Now, these are not high school pieces. These are pieces that you would spend weeks and weeks and weeks in high school. And with this group, you just rehearse it.
And I have that in common. We were exposed as kids to outstanding public school music. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly was in another state, and I'm a lot older than you are. But you're here because you had outstanding public school music when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what did you do in Washington? You did leave Ohio for a while.
I left Ohio to teach at a Maryland university. I was a conductor there, taught voice, some ear training and theory. But while I was in D.C., while I was in Maryland, sang at the National Cathedral. I was a staff baritone bass there. And then at one of the rehearsals, I was there for 12 seasons. And during my first season, our conductor realized he was double booked and said, "Stephen, I know you were booked to sing tonight. I need you to conduct an even song." So after that one time, things went very, very well. And then I became the go-to cover conductor whenever they needed somebody for even songs, for masses, for special occasions. So that was a lot of fun.
Which there are plenty at the National Cathedral, certainly. Mm-hmm. So Pro Arte Ohio, Stephen Caracciolo is the artistic director. He is the conductor of the Columbus Symphony Chorus. He's very busy. Handel's Messiah is done in November, I believe, mm-hmm. in the Ohio Theater. I think there are two performances. Russell Milanov is conducting that, who is the music director of the Columbus Symphony. Lisa Minkin's next show with Broadway in Columbus is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Boris Karloff's not with us because he's dead, but it's still a lot of fun, and it's a great show and a great first show for kids to bring as well. And then Me and Juliet, which I'm intrigued by. What happens if we let Romeo and die and Juliet hangs around? The Neil Diamond Show, Peter Pan, and Hamilton. People aren't tired of that, are they, Hamilton? No, they're not. It's like My Fair Lady, or it just keeps being done every year because it's that good. It's that audience friendly.
Most definitely. And you know, it has great exposure with Disney Plus having it, but there's nothing like seeing an art form live on stage.
Not only that, but it's great energy if you're sitting around other people and everybody's laughing at the same time or everybody's reacting at the same time. That's something that you don't get when you're on the couch by yourself or with, you know.
That's right, the magic of the shared experience.
With your spouse, and you don't care whether they're there or not. But anyway, but being in the theater is really magical.
For
as
sure.
well. Remy Wertmeyer, Ballet Met, do you have any new ballets that you are making? I know West Side Story, something else that you want to drop hints about?
I have a lot of new plans for the company, okay. but nothing that we can really talk about just yet. They're in the process, but...
How many dancers are in the main stage company?
25.
25 dancers. Is that the good number? Is that the number you want?
That's a good number. I think we can grow a little bit, but that's a good number.
Okay. So what would, if you did something like a big storybook ballet like Swan Lake or something, how many people do you need in the core, and then how many principals?
Yeah, well, we need many.
A lot of swans in that show, yeah.
No, so exactly. So what we do in that situation, just like with Nutcracker, we bring in the Ballet Met 2, and then we bring in our academy's trainees and some of the students.
How many dancers in Ballet Met 2?
Ballet Met 2 has 7.
These dancers in Ballet Met 2 are people that you've looked at and you think, this dancer, a professional career is possible for this person. This person
exactly.
is on the road.
Exactly.
This isn't a gifted kid. This is somebody who really could earn a living.
Do
I have that right?
Exactly. Yeah. They do earn a small living off of Ballet Met 2. And then from there, they can trampoline to a main company.
How young are the kids? What are the youngest kids? What are the ages that come in every day and train with you in the school?
In the school?
The little tiny kids.
They're tiny, tiny. They're like me. They're, you know,
three or four.
Yeah, around, I mean, everyone starts that young. But
You were 2 and a half, but you were especially precocious, I can tell, having met you for the first time an hour ago. I'm Christopher Purdy. I thank you all for joining me for this edition of All Sides Weekend. We introduced Remy Wertmeyer, who was the artistic director of Ballet Met. Don't forget to check out Dracula, which opens tonight at the Davidson Theater and runs for the next 2 weeks, and you can get tickets on the Ballet Met website. Lisa Minkin, thank you very much, good friend. Broadway in Columbus, bringing nothing but hits to Central Ohio to the joy of the audience. And Stephen Caracciolo, you have a concert Sunday at 4 o'clock at St. Mary's, some great music with an Italian and Latin thrust. And then you are working on Handel's Messiah, among other things, with the Columbus Symphony. So there's a lot to do. There are a lot of websites to check out. Just buy tickets and go, because we need, there's nothing like being there in person. We can talk all we want, but I want to see you. Come sit by me in the theater. And with that, I thank Chris Johnson for running the board and making radio for us. And I thank my three guests. I'm Christopher Purdy for All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. Go buy tickets.